think about it, and frail and insufficient as we are, every broken and disappointing relationship that we have in this life should convince us more and more that ultimate rest and ultimate fulfillment and ultimate completion cannot come from people. You think about from the time we're born till the time our life is ended on this earth, we could all share an accumulation of times where relationships have disappointed, hurt us, crumbled all together. And so there's the rub, that how do we trust people, rely on them, but ultimately trust God with our relationships? And that is the title of this morning's message, Trusting God with Our Relationships. We'll be looking at the scriptures today, letting God speak to us so that we properly remind ourselves. And for some of us, it might need to be deeper than just a reminder. It would be a refocus or a recalibration of our lives so that we view our trust in God and primarily, and then our trust in people secondarily. And how often and how easy is it for us to get those two out of order? We must have our trust ultimately in God in its proper priority and rank, and then trust the Lord with the human relationships that He has given to us in this life. So trusting God with our relationships is the title. We're going to be in an old school book of Jeremiah, the Old Testament today, Jeremiah chapter 17. I believe the projectors, as they're not working today, I'll give us a little extra time to find these in your scriptures or on your phone. We'll read through just four verses and we'll mine the points that the Lord has for us today out of this text. Jeremiah 17, we're going to be looking at verses 5 through 8. Jeremiah is going to have a very simple way of teaching us what he's teaching us today in giving the point in the first verse, followed by a picture of that point. And then in the third verse, the second point, followed by a second picture in the fourth verse. Trusting God with our relationships. And here's what we're going to find in verse 5 as we begin. We're going to find this truth to be very clear and evident. Unfulfilled thirst occurs when we trust in people to be the satisfying source of our lives. I'll say that again. This is the first point found here in verse 5. Unfulfilled thirst occurs when we trust in people to be the satisfying source of our life. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. Now, a little bit of background here of what Jeremiah is saying and the context of why he was writing this. The Old Testament prophet Jeremiah, he served the Lord as a faithful preacher during the declining times of Israel's divided kingdom. You remember at one point in their history, it was split into two, Judah and Israel. There was turmoil. They were in the decline. This is the divided kingdom. Jeremiah faithfully preached the word. Even though we're told, or at least we have evidence in Scripture, that only two people ever listened to the sermons that he preached his entire life. Two people repented of the way they were going to serve the living God and to follow the Lord with their heart under his ministry. So in some ways, we might say today, was that even a fruitful ministry? It was fruitful because he was faithful to the Lord, what the Lord had called him to do. He was a faithful preacher. Even though the crowds did not turn under in repentance and come to the Lord, he was just faithful to give God's message to the people. The Israelites in his day were experiencing decay on almost every front. They were in decay politically and socially, financially, morally, spiritually. The list could go on and on. They were in a state of decline, in large part because their focus had turned to trust in humans rather than trust in the Lord. This reminds me of the scripture that says, some trust in horses and chariots, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. That was not true in the day of Jeremiah. We're trusting in human strength, human ingenuity, human ability had turned away from God. So it's into this context that Jeremiah delivers this message today. We see here in verse 5, thus says the Lord. The Lord had given him these words. He delivers them to the people. Cursed is the man who trusts in man. Now, when we hear the word cursed, we might think of something like having a spell cast on them. That's not the sense of the word here or the sense of this idea of being cursed, but it is this. He is saying, beset with negative consequences. That's the sense of the word cursed or the idea of being cursed here. Beset with negative consequences is the person who trusts in people, is the man who trusts in man. If this is true of you, your life will be set with negative consequences because we are all fallen people and we are untrustworthy. It's not to say that we don't strive for godliness. It's not to say we don't strive to be trustworthy, but we are fallible. So he said, if you turn your trust wholly to people, you will be beset with negative consequences. Cursed is the one who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength. This is the person who trusts. This is not referring to the healthy and proper ways of trusting one another. We do rely and depend on each other in so many ways. But he's speaking here about a trust in people and a trust in humans that is been placed as a primary trust. You're relying on people for your ultimate fulfillment, for your ultimate happiness, for completion, for putting the soul at rest. And he says, beset with consequences is that person. But we do trust in each other on a secondary level. For example, a family would rightly rely on the father for security and provision and safety. But ultimately, they should acknowledge and praise God for those things and not replace or ignore their trust in God for those things. Instead, immediately when you begin to attach all of that to a human and putting God out of the picture, this is what Jeremiah is saying, those whose heart turns away from the Lord. So instead of putting the Lord as ultimate and humans as secondary, you've pushed the Lord off of the stage and you've put humans as primary, and your whole rest and trust of heart is in people. He said that kind of life will be beset with negative consequences. Reminds me of what Asaph wrote in Psalm 73:26. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Asaph got it right. He understood that my flesh and my heart, he's even saying dependence and reliance upon my own self, not even other people, but when I depend and rely on myself, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart. He is my portion forever. God and God alone can bear the weight of our total trust. And so Jeremiah is issuing the warning here. You will be beset with consequences when you put your ultimate trust in humans. They're not created or designed to bear the weight of that trust, but God is. So Jeremiah here, he lays out this principle first, that unfulfilled thirst of soul will occur when we trust in people to be the satisfying source of our lives. It will be a bumpy and unstable ride when you wholly put your trust in people rather than God. But then he gives this very graphic and visual picture in verse 6. So let's look now, after having laid the principle down in verse 5, he gives this very memorable picture in verse 6. He says, this person will be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. And I got thirsty just reading that verse. There's so many dry parts to it. He says, this person's life who puts their ultimate trust in humans and people is like a desert shrub living in a salted desert. Does it get any worse than that? You have a desert and then you throw salt on top of it. Be like a child coming in after playing hours outside. Mom, give me a drink. Can I have some water? And the mom replies, here, have some saltine crackers to chew on. Be like a cotton mouth and dry, and now I've got crackers on top of it. You can't get any drier than that. Jeremiah says this is the life, the picture of a life of someone depending and relying on people. It's a desert wasteland with salt thrown on top. You are planted in that area. You are a thorny, prickly, wooden plant that is not thriving. And I have this picture in my mind as Jeremiah uses that as this graphic picture, this visible picture that we now have. I have this in my mind of a shrub that is going down under the earth and reaching out its roots in all directions. So it puts its faith and trust in a person this way, and it begins to reach out, and it goes a year or two towards this person, finds nothing. And so then it tries another direction, and it sends its roots out this way and finds nothing. And then it goes north, and then it goes south. And it's just ever, ever reaching underneath the earth, looking for a source of water to refresh. But it's in the wrong place. It's in a desert land where salt is thrown on top. There is no quenching of the thirst when we look for our ultimate fulfillment in people. Relationships are wonderful. God has created them to be wonderful for us, but they're only wonderful insofar as we have put them in the right priority, trusting God first, then giving him glory with our lives secondly. Practically, what does this look like? You say, well, what would a relationship living in a desert land that's uninhabited with salt on top of it and is so dry that refreshing water can never come to him, as Jeremiah says, that they will forever be thirsty because they're in the wrong places looking for water. Practically, this could look like a number of scenarios. This could look like the teenager that's trusting in the praise and approval of peers to establish their joy. This could look like the single adult who is trusting in a marriage partner to complete them and finally give them purpose in life. This could look like a married couple who's struggling in their marriage, and so they think that a new child will help fix and strengthen their marriage. This looks like an employee who's trying to get on the boss's good side because that boss is the only hope for their financial difficulties, to give them a raise and establish them better. This looks like the person whose happiness day after day is depending on relational adjustments and changes to other people. This is looking for water and refreshment in a land that cannot deliver water and refreshment. This kind of a life is fraught with pitfalls and negative consequences. To plug, as it were, the life support of our life into someone else, and that we have to be attached that way, is putting God out of the picture and putting humans as the ultimate source of trust. Those roots will forever reach, but will never find. This life will dwell with a parched and thirsty soul. That's the bad news. Ah, but the scriptures do not end there, because there is good news. It does not need to be this way. There is one who is wholly trustworthy. There is one who can quench the thirst of our souls. And this is where Jeremiah turns to next in verse 7, where we find that he's going to lay down this principle. Life truly is fulfilled when we trust in God, who is the, and this is Jeremiah's term he uses a number of times in his book, the fountain of living water. What a great phrase that depicts our God. For the thirsty soul that is parched, it goes to the fountain of living water and drinks freely and is satisfied. Life is truly fulfilled when we trust in God, who is the fountain of living water. Verse 7 of Jeremiah 17. We saw that cursed is the man, or beset with consequences is the man, who doesn't trust in the Lord. But verse 7 says this: blessed, happy, fulfilled is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. Happy, satisfied, fulfilled, benefited, all of these things. Blessed is the word that encapsulates all of those. The person is blessed whose ultimate, daily, moment-by-moment trust is in the perfectly trustworthy Lord. He quenches the thirst of the dry soul. The soul is thirsty until it finds, as Jeremiah says, the fountain of living waters. That phrase comes up in verse 13. We won't get that far today, but it also reaches all the way back to Jeremiah chapter 2, where Jeremiah was saying to the people of Israel, you have committed two sins. You have stepped over, or you have neglected the fountain of living waters, and you have dug out for yourselves cisterns in the earth that can hold no water. Jeremiah was telling the people of Israel, you prefer a dug-out cistern in the earth that has cracks and is not watertight and has no seal and it holds no water, and you prefer that to the fountain of living waters in front of you that bubbles forth and is refreshing any time and every time you need it to come to the Lord for your soul's refreshment. He says, you've committed two evils. You have neglected the fountain in front of you, and instead you've dug out for yourselves things that hold no water. Can you just picture spiritually a people who are licking the bottom of a dry cistern where there is no water, while just feet away is a gushing source of living water for them to be refreshed? This is what happens, brothers and sisters, when we don't trust in a trustworthy God. We're licking, as it were, dry, parched, desert lands of life. And yet all the while he beckons to us, come, trust in me. Your soul will be strong. Your soul will be refreshed. You can lean the weight of all of your problems and all of your cares and all of your eternity and all of your forgiveness and all that you need. Lean it on me, the fountain of living waters. Only God can quench the thirst of the dry soul. And this is not situational trust. When your trust is settled on the Lord, you can have blessing, benefit, peace, joy, even when circumstances in life are not perfect. It's a trust like that of Job in the Scriptures. Even people that may not be necessarily familiar with all of the Bible may know a little something about Job. Job, who had nearly everything taken away from him, even his own health. His wife, who was his companion, told him, just curse God and die. Just get it over with. His life is so full of pain and discouragement. Just die. But instead, Job, who put his trust fully in the trustworthy one, would say things like this: the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said in chapter 13, verse 15 of Job, though he slay me, yet will I hope and trust in him. And he said in chapter 19, verse 25, I know that my Redeemer lives. How can I cease to put my trust in a hopeful God who redeems our lives even from the grave? And so as Christians, as believers, we stake our trust in an eternally good, an eternally powerful God, even when we don't understand the immediate circumstances or even when we don't see the ultimate outcome. Now, here's the second picture that Jeremiah gives in verse 8. So he laid out these two principles. Unfulfilled thirst occurs when we trust in people to be the satisfying source of our life. But verse 7, life is truly fulfilled when we trust in God, who is the fountain of living water. And now we have this beautiful picture in verse 8. This person is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green. It is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. The person who trusts in God is like a well-planted and well-placed tree with an infinite water source from which to draw. This person reaches out life's roots in trust, and it finds satisfying refreshment for their soul because it's reaching into the correct places. It's reaching into the places of God Almighty. It's reaching into the one who actually can deliver refreshment. Look at what a settled trust in God avoids. Did you catch these phrases? It displaces these things out of life, and it avoids, verse 8 in the middle there, does not fear when heat comes. This type of life does not fear even when circumstances and relationships turn up the heat. They don't fear because their water source is being drawn from God Himself. Again, at the end of the verse there, it is not anxious in the year of drought. It's not anxious even when nothing on the surface appears to be going rightly, because its roots are down deep and drawn into the water source of the fountain of living waters, God Himself. Instead, their life remains green with vitality and full of fruitful deeds because they have rock-solid trust in the trustworthy One. So, parents, when your life is rooted in the fountain of living waters, even when things are not going as planned with your kids, you're not going to be undone, because you're not going to be results-based. You are going to be trust-based and faithful-based on a trustworthy living God. Your happiness and your purpose in life and your fulfillment of things is not bound up in your children. It's bound up in God, and you entrust them to Him. And so to the person who has soured and imperfect relationships, you don't need them to be fixed in order to be at peace. You trust in God and you entrust your relationships to Him. Even in a desert place, you might remain green and full of fruit because your roots are founded in the fountain of living waters. What a great passage of Scripture this is. There's such hope here, brothers and sisters. And we can find that in our lives when our relationships begin to undo us and they put all kinds of tumult into our souls and spin us upside down and agitate us like a washing machine, and all things are being turned this way and that, we can say, wait a minute, where is my trust? Is my trust in human relationships? Or is my trust in the Lord, and I pray for these and leave them to Him? But my day will march on in contentment and peace and joy and security and fulfillment because I trust in the Lord. That is where my roots go. Let me just close by returning to the title and the subject of this message. How do we trust God with our relationships? This is what Jeremiah is telling the people of Israel. This is what we need to hear today. You must understand and have in proper order what relationships were created to do and what they were created not to do, what they will never deliver. You must be settled and assured from Scripture, this of mind, that relationships were created to do this. They were created to encourage us. They were created to enhance our lives. They were created to strengthen us. They were created to enrich who we are and what we do. They were created to comfort and to bear each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of the laws of Christ. That is what they can do. But here is what relationships were never created and intended to do. They were never created and intended to support the full weight of your thirst, the full weight of your soul. They were never intended and created to quench the thirst of your life. No human relationship can do that. No human relationship can quench the thirst of your soul, the thirst to be reunited with God, the thirst to be forgiven, the thirst to be set free. No human relationship can do this. Look, I love my family. I love my wife. I love my children. I love my parents. I love the leadership of this church. I love this church. I love my friends. I love my pastor friends scattered throughout the country. I love this community. But I know two things about the relationships that I love and would give my life to. I know two things about them. Number one, I can't quench their souls. And I know that they will never be able to quench the deepest thirst of my own. We've all tried it. We've all tried it time and time again. We will come up empty every time, brothers and sisters. We will come up empty as though we are a bush living in a deserted desert land with salt thrown on top because they were never designed to do that. God and God alone can do this. Jesus said to the woman at the well, do you remember this conversation? He meets a woman who has had five husbands, and the sixth man that she is with currently is not her husband. And Jesus says to her, whoever drinks of the water that I supply. Do you think she was putting her roots into areas that would never satisfy after five husbands and with a sixth at that point? Do you think she's running roots out into life, into places that cannot fulfill? She absolutely is. And what does Jesus say to her? How does he tenderly meet her in her need? How does he come to her with loving message of the gospel of grace? He says this, whoever drinks of the water I supply will never be thirsty forever. That is the hope of Jesus Christ. That is the hope that the eternally knowing, powerful, and loving God meets us in our need, satisfies the thirst of our soul, and he does it in Jesus Christ. When you've tasted of this, you'll be free to see and experience your relationships as God has intended them to be. Only when you are rooted in the fountain of living waters. Jesus lived this out. How could Jesus have spent 3 years with Judas, who he knew would betray him with a kiss, turn him over to be crucified? Jesus didn't need Judas to be loyal. Jesus loved him, was with him, cared for him, because he did not attach his trust and fulfillment into Judas. How could Jesus have gone to his hometown of Nazareth and they throw him out because of what he preached? He should have been devastated. Well, he would have been if his attachment would have been to that and those relationships. Instead, he said, I commit myself to God. How could Jesus have even survived having one of his closest apostles and Peter deny even knowing him 3 times? It's because Jesus lived what he delivered. He lived what he preached. He not only is the fountain of living water, he gives to us the fountain of living water. And when we drink of Jesus Christ, we will never be thirsty forever. How could Jesus teach love your enemies? It's because when we are settled and rested and rooted in God, we don't need anything from our enemies. We are free to love them because God has asked us to love them. In trust, we can be sorrowful over relationships wrecked by people who disappoint us because our root is secure in the waters of living life. In trust, we can be prayerful but not hopeless by people who need God. In trust, we can be saddened but not distraught when things turn upside down, because as you walk in trust, you will be like a well-watered tree that remains green with life and vitality, bearing constant fruit, because we are drinking from the fountains of living water. And Jesus said, come to me, trust in me, put your roots in me. There you will have abundance of life. Brothers and sisters, all of the human relationships that we have, they were never designed by God to bear the weight of our soul's happiness. God and he alone can do that. And so when we rightly put God in his position, we trust fully in him. Now we are freed to give our attention to the relationships in the way that God would have it. We do it for his glory. We do it for our good and our growth. And we do it to the service of all those around us. Only then can we truly be free, standing as a tree watered by God himself. Do you know this God? Do you know the God who promises refreshing water for your soul? I trust you do today. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word. It's a word that we need to hear. It's a word that reaches us where we so often go astray. Lord, we give more weight and more trust and more leaning to your creation oftentimes than we do to you as the creator. And Lord, forgive us for this. Forgive us for running on a fool's errand again and again, hoping that somehow people on this earth will give us full satisfaction, Lord, knowing that you are the only one to do it. But Lord, as we rest and are satisfied completely in you, might you teach us how to relate properly, lovingly, compassionately, patiently with those around us. Lord, free us in the way that Jesus was freed, to love and to care and to pray and to entrust himself wholly to you. Lord, we want to follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in this way. Would you bless us as a people, bless us as a church. Might we be that tree, well-placed, drawing with our roots from your everlasting fountain of living waters. Lord, we thank you for your message to us today. Press it upon our hearts. If there be anyone here who doesn't know you in this way, Lord, I pray they would call out to you today and ask that you would be to them living water, that you would refresh and satisfy their parched souls. Lord, we love you for what you have done for us, for what you will continue to do for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.